There is so much in those songs that are going to connect with today's sermon. But before we get to the sermon, tomorrow is going to be Memorial Day. And we'd like to take a few minutes and remember the fallen, to remember what this holiday is all about. Freedom is never free. There's always a price to pay. I ask you to join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to come before you and we want to thank you for creating such men and women who are willing to sacrifice, to suffer, even lay down their lives for freedom, to fight and to die so that others can live free. Lord, we thank you for all those who have sacrificed so much for us, that we can live in the land of the free. Lord, I pray this morning that our people here in America, their hearts will return to what the flag represents. Freedom. And that freedom that we cherish, sometimes we take for granted, was paid for in blood. The precious blood of many men and women on foreign battlefields. Lord, help us to remember what this day is all about and truly be thankful for what we have. Lord, I lift up the families of those who have lost loved ones in the service of their country. Families who have lost loved ones and also had ones that were horribly damaged and disfigured and living lives that are truly difficult. Lord, we ask you to be with those families this day and tomorrow to comfort them, to let them find peace, that their loved ones did not die in vain. Lord, for believers, we understand, or hopefully we understand, the cost of freedom. Because the greatest freedom that we can know as humanity is the freedom from darkness, from sin, from death. And Lord, you came and you fought that war. You fought and you won. You overcame sin and death. But to do that, you had to die on the cross. You had to shed your blood. Our freedom from sin cost you everything. And that we are truly indebted. So today, Lord, help us to remember we're indebted to those, our fellow Americans who've laid their lives down that we may live free. We're indebted to them. And Lord, we are indebted to you most of all for being free from sin, from darkness, from death. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the freedom that we have. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. This week was an interesting week with the Lord. Started this week with prayer and seeking God's will, and the next part of 1 Peter, and God said, well, I have a sermon for you for the next couple verses, but that's next week. This week, I want you to put the exclamation point on the first five verses. To finalize what these five verses talk about. Next week, I really encourage everyone to be here. If you know someone that's not here this morning, give them a call and encourage them. I need full turnout of the church body next Sunday. Because the sermon that I worked on most of the week, and God said, well, it's for next week. It's in its rough draft form, but it's something special. Because it's not just taking the word as a general message to all God's people and us applying it to ourselves. The message next week is God directly talking to us in this body of First Baptist Church. I'm excited about it. I'm a little nervous about it. But God is good. So I encourage everyone to make sure not to let anything distract us from coming here next Sunday. I need the full body here. But today, God says, you know, there's a sermon I want you to plug in here. It's a sermon I've given before over the years. I usually give it every couple of years because it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder to us. But I realize I don't think I've given it in over almost 7 years. I think 7 years is the last time I shared this sermon. But it's everything we've been talking about in 1 Peter. It's the exclamation point on the end. Today I'm going to share this, and I pray, and I usually, people, when they hear this, this is usually a sermon that sticks with them. Not the entire sermon, but the main points never leave a person. And I'm going to pray that that's what it does today to all of us. Now, in this last week, how many of you heard about the supermoon in the news? Okay, good. Majority of us. Supermoon. How many of you saw it? Nobody saw it. Come on. Okay. So a bunch of heard it, but a bunch didn't want to stay up and see it. I understand. Me and Wendy stayed up one night and saw it, and it was beautiful. It was a big, beautiful moon. But I was amazed, all the talk about it, on the radio and the internet. A lot of people looking to the moon. A lot of people saying weird things about the moon. I heard some people talk about that this moon is special in the aspect that it can give you peace and it can bring healing to your life. It has power. And you are to connect with the moon, this super moon. And it was a relative of mine on the internet saying this stuff. All sorts of people talking about the uniqueness of the moon and what it means. Even Bible-believing Christians have looked to the moon when they should not be looking to the moon. And when they do look at the moon, they look at it incorrectly. Remember a couple years ago, the blood moons were all in the news? And a guy wrote a book called The Blood Moons. You know, the Bible only talks about the blood moon once, the moon becoming like blood. And it's in the last part of the tribulation period. There are no prophecies in Scripture saying, look for the blood moons, and that these blood moons mean something. This book, if I had a trash can, that's where it needs to go. But people all jumped on board when the Scriptures don't say anything about looking to the moon for prophecies or fulfillment. But people wrote, a person wrote a book, millions of Christians bought into it. You see, the whole world is looking at the moon, and they're looking at it for different reasons and believing different things. And the majority of the world is completely missing out on what the moon actually represents, what the moon is all about. So today I want to share with us what the moon is all about in a sermon called The Faithful Witness. And like I said, it's 1 Peter 1, 1 through 5, and it's the exclamation point, and we're done with this section of Scripture. Now, I'm not going to go back and read these five verses. I have read them plenty in the last 11 weeks. We know what these five verses are all about. But here's something interesting that we need to know. God is calling us to be faithful in these five verses, to embrace sanctification, obedience, to be a witness to the world. Many churches are not obeying this. Believers are not fully embracing it, committed to it. But we are called to be committed to this, to be faithful witnesses. Like the faithful witness we're going to talk about today. We need to commit ourselves to the faith in these last days. But like I said, fewer and fewer churches and believers are concerned with that. And it's going to get worse and worse as time goes. Fewer and fewer are going to be concerned with being faithful witnesses. Fewer and fewer churches are going to be concerned. To the point that Jesus made this statement in Luke 18. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The faith is going to be small. Few and far between. John MacArthur talks about this verse saying that when Jesus comes back, it'll be as the days of Noah, when only 8 people in the world had faith. 8. Now it'll be more than that. But compared to the whole world, there won't be a lot of faith left. You see, the Bible tells us during this time, especially in the days of Noah, that mark the end times, that the world, the earth, will be filled with violence, with fear, with anxiety, with hate, with racism, persecution of Christians, great apostasy in the church, and a false spirituality. Sounds like today. But see, we are called to be the exception. We are called to be the faithful all the way to the end. Peter has been talking about it. Paul mentions it. It's all mentioned all through the New Testament and through the Old. But let's look at Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, for you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. There is a judgment coming. There is a tribulation period coming. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Verse 8. For you were once darkness. Not that you were in the dark. We were the dark. We were part of the darkness of this world. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We are to be light in this world. As born-again believers who were once spiritually dead, who were in darkness, but are now spiritually alive, Christ gave us his Holy Spirit for the express purpose of being light, of being his witnesses, to share the truth of who Jesus Christ is, to share the gospel with the lost, telling them of the light of truth, the light of the world. We are called to be light in this dark world. I believe it's so important to the Lord that we are light, that we are faithful witnesses, that he mentions this, alludes to it, connects it all through Scripture. But it's so important to God, he even put this message in his creation, in the physical creation. He has put this message, calling his people to be light, to always remember who you are. To remember what Jesus has done for us, who he is, and what he has called us to be. Every day, he tries to remind us of this. So this sermon that I've given before, and I'm going to repeat today, is called Striving to Be a Full Moon. There's a lot we can learn from the moon. And like I said, it's the exclamation point on the first 5 verses. You see, the sun and the moon, they were designed to remind us every day about Jesus Christ, what He has done. And the moon to remind us of ourselves. Psalms 19, verses 1 through 4 says this, "The heavens keep telling the wonders of God, and the skies declare what He has done. Each day informs the following day. Each night announces to the next. They don't speak a word, and there is never the sound of a voice. Yet their message reaches all the earth, and it travels around the world." What message is in the sky, and what is it declaring to the world? Go to the next slide, Levi. Genesis 1:16 says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Everything God does, there's meaning and there's purpose in it. Everything. The way He designed creation and how He did it has meaning and purpose to us. Here, He created two great lights. Why did God design the creation this way? He could have done it any way He wanted. But He designed two great lights, the greater and the lesser. Let's go back to Psalms 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." The firmament is the atmosphere, the sky, space. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them, in the heavens, He has set a tabernacle for the sun, S-U-N, the sun, which is like. So He created this greater light called the sun. Its home is in the sky. And He says, which is like. So He's going to, the sun is up there for a reason. It's showing us something more than just what it is doing in the physical, scientific realm. The sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices. So the sun is like a bridegroom who is rejoicing, has joy, like a champion to run his race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Boy, does that verse come true here in Redding, California. The sun is like a bridegroom, a champion with joy to run the race before him. Nothing escapes the heat. Heat is fire. Fire is judgment. Who does this sound like? What? Jesus Christ. Jesus is referenced as the bridegroom, is He not? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us," just like our great example, Jesus. Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, His race the Father gave, endured the cross." That was Christ's race. He became our champion because He endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, our champion. And we're the bride, and He's the bridegroom who's coming back. Jesus, known as the bridegroom in Scripture, with joy endured the cross, the race that was set before Him with joy, defeated sin, became our champion, and now sits up on high. the throne where he will judge. Because nothing is hidden from its heat. God sees all. What are you telling us, Pastor? When we see the sunrise, I'm telling you, everything God designed has purpose and meaning. And when you see the sunrise, God is saying, God is telling us his creation. Before the foundation of the world, this plan was in place. That Christ would come into the world. The light into the darkness. And he would run its course. Jesus said it himself. I am the light of the world. Now we know from the physical realm, the scientific realm, what lights the world? The sun. But Jesus connects himself to that aspect of being the light of the world. It's very interesting because Psalms 84 connects God with the sun. For the Lord God is a sun. Now, we're not talking about sun worship like the Egyptians did. No, this creation of God, this greater light, is like a bridegroom, a champion. It's testifying of the truth of what God has done. It's testifying to the whole world that Jesus Christ came into the world. Let's look at the characteristics of the sun. The S-U-N. Now, the sun gives light to the world. We've already talked about that. The sun gives life to the planet. How does the sun make sure there's life on the planet? Without the sun, we'd have no life. How does that do that? Can you remember back to science class? Photosynthesis. What is that? Yeah, the plants keep the plant alive. What do plants give us that we can live? Oxygen. The whole photosynthesis, the sun, they take the light in and create oxygen for us. So it gives life to the planet. It warms the planet. Like I said, we definitely know here in Reading. It causes the winds. How does the sun cause the wind? Does anybody remember? How? It heats the atmosphere, so the heating causes the air, the temperatures to shift, and it causes the winds. Someone paid attention in science class way back then. It's the teller of time. Now we should really know this and understand this because we have a bridge called the what? Sundial Bridge. We can keep track of the time according to the sun and its shadow. So those are the characteristics of the sun, S-U-N. Let's look at the characteristics of the S-O-N, the Son of God. The Son of God is light. When he transfigured, he showed himself in his purified, glorified state. He shone, they said, like the sun. He was so bright. He was like the sun, they said. When Saul, who was persecuting the church, met Jesus on the road, he looked up at Jesus, and he was blinded from the light, physically blinded. Why? Have you ever gone out and tried to look at the sun? Do not do it. But even if you try, and I've tried it, you're like, oh, and you can't look at it maybe a second, and then you have to rub your eyes. The sun is light. The sun is the life. Without Jesus, there is no life, only death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It warms the heart. You see, the Bible describes us as having a stone-cold heart. A heart of stone, which is cold and dead. But when he comes in, he says, I'll take that cold stone heart out of you and I'll give you a heart of flesh, warmth, life. He's the winds of change through his sacrifice on the cross. His resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes and into our lives and God changes who we are. He's the holder of time because he's God. He was before time. And He holds time in His hands. You see, the Son was designed to, in such a way, and does, the things that it does that God instructed it to do is testifying of the world to the world, Jesus Christ. Go to the next slide. Psalms 19. The heavens keep telling the wonders of God, and the skies declare what He has done. Each day informs the following day. Each night announces to the next. They don't speak a word, and there is never the sound of a voice, yet their message reaches all the earth. Now most of the world is not even seeing or hearing the message. They're worshiping the sun, they think, or the moon and the sun. They're not hearing what it's actually telling us, what it's designed to tell. But it's still doing it every day. Jesus, when that sun comes up, is declaring the truth. Now, many of us probably don't get up before the sun comes up. Some of us may. There's nothing like seeing a sunrise. It's dark. But then there starts to be a little bit of light in the horizon. A little bit of light. Just like a little baby light, like Jesus came as a baby. But as the sun gets higher and higher, there's the darkness flees. And it's replaced with the light. As the sun comes up, as Jesus came into the world as the light of the world, the darkness fled. We who were darkness, when the light of the world comes into us, the darkness flees and we become children of light. But you know what's interesting about the sun? It comes up, chases the dark away, but it's only up for a while. Then it goes down, and what returns? The darkness. See, when Jesus came into the world as the light of the world, just like the sun has its circuit, but then it goes away for a short time, Jesus came into the world, but then He left. And darkness returned. He was light of the world for a short time. Here. But when the sun sets, the greater light, and the darkness returns, there is a lesser light that rules the night. When Jesus left, He told His disciples, "You are the light of the world now. So let your light shine," is what He told us. You see, as the sun points to Jesus Christ, I believe the moon points to us. Psalms 89 says this, "It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky, Selah." That Selah is a musical pause. It says, think about what you just read, what you just said. Stop and ponder on it. It's deep. It's meaningful. It, in context of this passage, is talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is established forever. But it uses the moon as an example. And I find it very interesting what it says about the moon. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. The moon. What is it a faithful witness to? What do you mean the sun? What? It's reflecting what? The light of the sun. You mean that sun we can't see any longer? That went away? We know it's still there because it's the light of the sun is reflecting off the moon? So the moon is a faithful witness telling us that the sun is still there? And it's going to come back? Is that what you're telling me? Mm-hmm. I agree. Go to the next slide. The moon. Let's look at the characteristics of the moon. The moon reflects the light of the sun. It cannot produce its own light. God created it that way. A greater light to rule the day, lesser light to rule the night. But that lesser light cannot produce its own light. It needs the light of the greater light so it can have light. We were darkness. How are we going to have light? Well, we have to have the light of Jesus. We can reflect the light of Jesus. Reflection. Aren't we supposed to be the image of Jesus Christ? Are we not supposed to show the image, reflect the image of Jesus Christ to the world? The moon reflects the light of the sun. Cannot produce its own light. The moon affects the ocean tides. The moon reveals the sun is still there. The moon is a guide in the night. Sometimes when the moon is so full and bright, there's shadow. You can walk. You don't even need a flashlight. Beautiful. Let's look at the characteristics of a Christian. The Bible tells us that we're darkness. We have no light of ourselves, but we can reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Can't produce our own light, but we can have the light of Jesus Christ. Christians are called to effect change in people, in culture, by bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can change a person's whole life. We can change the direction of an entire family tree. Do you realize that? Maybe the Bible tells us about generational sin many times, where there would be the same sin generation after generation destroying a family. But the gospel can come in. The gospel can change a person, and that family tree, that sin is stopped, and the family tree now can become healthy. It can affect generations to come. We can change so much with the truth of Jesus Christ. Christians, we reveal that Jesus is alive. The world doesn't believe it. We do. And we have Him inside of us through His Holy Spirit. We are the testimony. We are the evidence that Jesus is alive and coming back soon. No other Christians reveal that Jesus is alive more than the persecuted church. The story we're studying in the men's Bible study, the people that were in the prison, the only Christians who were suffering for Christ, oh, they were showing Jesus in more powerful ways than I've ever seen. We reveal that Jesus is alive, even in the darkest place. Christians, we're to guide those who are lost in the darkness of sin. We can guide them. Because we're no longer darkness, we're light. We can go into the darkness and we can lead people out. A lot of characteristics of the moon. Being a faithful witness in the sky. We are called to be a faithful witness. The greater light sets, it's our time to light. And that moon is telling us, reminding us what God has called us to be. The faithful witness. But I need to show you something. Matthew 13, verse 22. Now he received seed among the thorns as he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he becomes unfruitful. He becomes less light. Go to the next slide, Levi. There's a pretty full moon, but is it completely full? Is it completely reflecting the light of the sun? No, there's part of it missing. Why is part of it missing? What? Well, technically that is not true. Technically, I understand exactly what she's saying. And it's, technically, we think that the earth causes a shadow on the earth, and that's, or on the moon, and it causes part of the moon to disappear. But actually, that's not the case. It's just the moon in relation to the earth. We can only see that part of it. It's kind of technical. You have to go read about it. And so the moon in relation or position to the earth, we can see different aspects of it. But it's in position of the earth. It's in relation to the earth that causes the changes. It's just the same thing as believers, as faithful witnesses. If we are thinking too much of the world, if we're loving too much of the world, we're trying to hold on to much of the world, if the world has too much of a position in our lives, the cares of this life, we're too much connected to it, it can start to affect how we reflect Jesus Christ. Our position with the world can stop us from being faithful witnesses. It starts to choke out the light. Here is a believer in position with the world now that he or she is not fully reflecting the full light of the sun. There's starting to be cares of this life choke out some of the light. Go to the next slide. Here's a Christian who's really battling, trying to be a faithful witness, but the position of the world, the cares of this life, are starting to block most of the light. They're starting to become unfruitful. The light is starting to dim. Sometimes we let the world get too much into us. We start to neglect the scriptures. Maybe neglect church. These things start just piling up. They don't have to necessarily be sinful things. It's just Satan is always wanting us to drop this, to let things steal the light. For us to slowly go out. That's what's happening here. Go to the next slide. That's a Christian barely holding on. Barely holding on. The world has got this Christian. It's a good majority of the church today in America. That's why they buy books that are unbiblical. That's why they're all about your best life now. That's why they're chasing signs and wonders that the Bible calls lying signs and wonders. It's why false teachers can get away, all these faith healers. I cannot believe people are still giving money to faith healers. Did this last year not prove them false? The first thing these faith healers did was run and hide from a virus. Why didn't they heal people? Why did their healing rooms close? Why didn't they go down to the local hospital and start healing people? Because they're frauds. Why are people listening to false prophets who said, Trump is going to win? How many of them were proven false prophets with that one? You see, most Christians are like this, so they can be duped and led astray. But there's a worse condition than this. Go to the next one. It's called the lunar eclipse. It's where the world completely moves in position between the sun and the moon. Then the moon has no light whatsoever. I call this Christian the saved by fire Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Their whole life is burned up in God's judgment, but they're saved as by fire. Next slide, Levi. Christian whose light is out. Christians whose light is bright. We're called to be a faithful witness. You know, if we take this being a faithful witness seriously, if we embrace what the Bible tells us, from our youngest ones in here to our oldest ones, if you're a believer, you can be light. You can be a full moon. You can be the faithful witness. And if we take it really seriously, I mean really seriously, there's another phenomenon that the moon does. It's called a solar eclipse. And what is a solar eclipse? It's the opposite of the lunar eclipse. You see, it's where the moon comes around and puts the world behind. And it's right there in front of the sun. It's put the world behind, the complete. And now the sun envelops the moon, the light. And for us here on the earth, scientifically, it's dangerous to look at this with your eye because it could burn your eyes. But see, the moon becomes a complete image of Jesus Christ. The same image that blinded Saul on the road to Damascus. We can become so filled with the light that the darkness can't look. The darkness flees. I want to be that kind of light for Christ. So question, which one are you going to be? It's your choice. One is called the faithful witness in the sky. Why? Because they were faithful to what God called them to be. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, then you can be faithful. We can all be full moons. See, the world is looking to the moon for all sorts of weird and dumb things. But we understand what the moon is up there. It's testifying to you and to us. It's beckoning us. This is where God has called us to be. But people always say, I just don't have it in me. It's just too hard. You know what? It is hard. I've told you, discipleship will be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. But through Christ, we can do all things. You don't have it in me? Well, if you have the Holy Spirit of God, if you're a born-again believer, you have everything you need. As I close, Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us to be faithful witnesses, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One last beautiful truth. Right now, the sun runs its course, and then the moon. Jesus has come, and now we are the faithful witnesses. But there's a time coming, and it could be sooner than we think. There's a time coming when the sun will have his throne in Jerusalem, and we, his faithful, will be part of his government. The government that will rule the entire world. The perfect government of God on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And we will reign with him for 1,000 years, the greater light and the lesser light together. Next slide. Have you ever seen in the sky the sun and the moon at the same time? That's also testifying. There's a time coming for that. But right now, we're just the moon. We're just the faithful witness striving to be a full moon. That is where we are right now. Because the S-O-N, the Son of God, is not reigning yet in Jerusalem. But one day he will. But while he is gone and darkness is in this world, we are called to be light. The faithful witness in the sky. The faithful witness out here. That is our cause. That is what we have been called to. And we're a faithful witness when we reflect Jesus Christ. Not religion, not false doctrines, not
Not just love by itself, but perfect love of God, the agape love of God, the love that does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, so that we share the complete truth of the gospel with people. That they need to turn from their sin, they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ and be born again. Because the wrath of God is coming. And there's only one way to escape it. We have to be faithful witnesses. That's what God has called us to. That is our cause. It's Memorial Day. At different times in our country's history, there's been a cause. The cause of freedom. And the call has gone out. And Americans have volunteered and they've gone and they fought. Because there was a cause. And many gave their lives for that cause. Folks, that's great. And I'm so thankful for them. But there's a greater cause than just one nation's freedom. There's a greater cause in the world. The freedom of all the nations. The freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is going to be a blessing to all the nations. We have a cause that's greater than any cause. We are to take part in the war that is greater than any war this world has ever seen. A war that started in the Garden of Eden. A war that claims the souls of people for all eternity. That is our cause. That is where we are supposed to shine and be light. The cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Then let's stand up and sing about that cause. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to be faithful witnesses. Lord, it is so important. You beckon us. You call us. You plead through us that people will be saved and that we will be light and we will be salt. And Lord, you're calling us to be faithful. I ask you to help us to answer that call. And Lord, I pray that we will see the meaning and purpose of your creation, the knowledge it pours out, telling what you have done, calling us to what we are to be. Lord, we thank you for your amazing creation. We thank you for the light that came into the darkness. We thank you, Lord, that you came into our darkness and you saved us who were darkness. And you've made us light. We praise you for that. And now, Lord, I ask you to help us be dedicated to the cause of Christ, to be faithful witnesses, to spend our time serving the greatest cause known to humanity, the cause of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right, now if you have children in Children's Church, I went over, Wendy has them up there in the balcony. Everybody wave the kids, yeah. Hey. So you can get your kids downstairs. I pray that when you see the moon from now on, you'll flash back to this sermon. When you see a sunrise, you'll flash back, put a smile on your face. When you see the sun setting, realize that Christ ascended back to the Father, but one day he'll be coming back. Each day for the creation to remind us of who we are and what he has done. So on the count of three, let's break out of here and go onto the playing field of the world. Three, one, two, three, break! Let's go.